One of the driving forces behind the development of radar was a colorful man who led a double life. Alfred Loomis was a Wall Street genius and amateur scientist. Taking the millions he made in the utility business, he retired at age 45 and turned a New York mansion into a state-of-the-art laboratory. That lab produced many scientific advances that helped the Allies win World War II. Janet Conant, his author of the book Tuxedo Park, which was the name of the exclusive neighborhood where Loomis's homemade laboratory was located. Conant says initially the mansion was more of a gathering place for the scientific elite than a research facility.
What Loomis did throughout the late 20s and 1930s is he would send invitations to the greatest physicists of the day, Heisenberg, Einstein, Niels Bohr, Enrico Fermi, and he would invite them to give a paper. And in those days, there was no money. Universities were strapped, professors were very poorly paid, and physics of all fields, which was very new and underfunded. So they would gladly accept this wealthy scientist's invitation. They would be picked up by his Rolls-Royce at the dock, whisked off to Tuxedo Park, where they would have 2 or 3 weeks of seminars, black tie dinners every night, you know.
Well, it was a combination university, salon, and boys' club.
Yes. It was quite a boys' club, but it was interesting because as the 30s went on and the scientists started coming over, there were more and more Jewish scientists coming into this incredibly WASPy, gated community of Tuxedo Park. And he would hear stories from them as they passed through of German science, of German tanks, of radar technology, and rumors that the Germans were working on a bomb.
And Roosevelt knew about this.
Roosevelt knew about this. By 1939, Roosevelt was meeting with a man named Vannevar Bush, who was head of the Carnegie Institution, about how we could privately begin mobilizing. Even as late as 1940, this country was overwhelmingly against entering the war. There was no money to be voted by Congress for any kind of war effort. We were sending supplies to England, but they were being blown up by the U-2 submarines in vast numbers. Tons and tons of butter, guns, fuel were being sent to the bottom of the ocean. There was great concern that we were way behind. Our army was old-fashioned, our weapons were primitive, and our radar was way behind the Europeans, particularly the British. So Bush turned to Loomis, and he asked him if he would turn his laboratory, which had been pure research. He'd done all kinds of biology and chemistry and medical studies there, if he would turn it into a weapons laboratory, a sort of a secret weapons operation, and start looking into a new form of radar, microwave radar, based on a high-powered device that was smuggled into this country by the British called the cavity magnetron. And the British had brought it to Tuxedo Park and showed it to Loomis. And when Loomis saw it, he immediately recognized that this would revolutionize radar. And he started putting his own money into it. And he called Roosevelt and said, "We've got to build this." And Roosevelt said, "Go ahead." And they started this in the fall of 1940.
About this time, a book was published.
I had a great uncle named William Richards, who was a young chemist at Princeton, and he and his buddy George Kishikowski, another Princeton chemist, were hired by Loomis early on to become researchers at Tuxedo Park, and he wrote a novel about the research that he did called Brainwaves and Death, and he committed suicide a few months before the novel was published. My grandfather at the time, James B. Conant, was president of Harvard and very, very much involved with the early war work. And he was very concerned by this novel because it was very embarrassing to Loomis. It hinted at an extramarital affair that Loomis was involved in. But more seriously, among Richard's papers, another short story was found, and that was basically the formula for building an atomic bomb. And my grandfather had that short story censored, and it was never published.
You have a quote here from someone who said, radar won the war and the bomb ended it.
Yes. It's what most of the physicists believe. Of course, many of the Rad Lab physicists, many of Loomis's boys, would go on to leave the radiation laboratory once the airborne radar devices were put on planes. They would go off to Los Alamos and work on the bomb. What's forgotten now, I think, largely, is that Germany had been brought to its knees by radar. We had destroyed the Luftwaffe. We had crippled the U-boat's ability to strike and essentially had won the war in Europe. And that was due to radar. But the physicists in Los Alamos got all the glory.
After the war, Loomis shut the lab down and disappeared, sort of.
Well, one reason he was never heard from was a very scandalous chapter in his personal life. He had a long, difficult marriage with a very neurotic Boston society girl, and he had attempted to have her institutionalized permanently. He'd been having an affair with his young protege's wife, and he would finally divorce his wife after her sons had ousted her from this mental institution and taken her in. And he married his mistress the day of his divorce in a shotgun wedding in Carson City, Nevada. And New York society really turned their backs on him. I mean, he had been sort of bluer than blue. And then all of a sudden, his peers that were heads of banks and law firms would no longer invite him and his new wife to their homes. And so he exiled himself from Tuxedo Park, from New York, and he took a house in East Hampton, which was really then the countryside. And he became something of a recluse.
But to just go out to the Hamptons after you've had this life with all the great minds of the world.
It was odd. You know, he was offered university chairs all over. You know, everybody wanted him. One, because he was very distinguished, and also he did have this tremendous wealth, and he was this tremendous philanthropist. Harvard wanted him. He sat on MIT's board. He sat on the board of the Carnegie Institution. And the one thing he did do after the war is he got together with a bunch of his friends and founded the RAND Corporation, which was a very important undertaking. And he sat on various boards of the Atomic Energy Commission. And people did sort of journey to East Hampton to seek his counsel. He remained a prominent figure within certain circles, but he wasn't ever going to go to work for anybody again.
We still bump into bits of his legacy if one has an EEG.
Yes.
That goes back to him.
Yes. I mean, he did all kinds of experiments. For a long time, he did a series of experiments in brainwave research with one of the first electroencephalograms. And the work stands today. Early work on epilepsy and sleep patterns, and it was groundbreaking work at the time.
Jennet Konit is author of the book Tuxedo Park.